Well, greetings and salutations. I'm Jeff Fredericks, and on the line is Patrick Soyka, founder of Rewards Canada, the definitive source for all things rewards programs. Today is Monday, April 24th, 2017, and this is episode number 23 of the Rewards Canada Weekly Roundup Podcast. As always, our goal is to help you maximize your earning potential and get the most out of whatever rewards program you belong to. Each week, we highlight the best in reward point deals and bonuses. We also cover all relevant industry news, including program updates, enhancements, and changes. And of course, we'll reveal a tip of the week to help you stay on top of your game. So let's get on with the show. Well, let's start first with deals of the week, and this time we're chatting about the Alaska Airlines and an attractive first flight bonus. So if you're not a member of the Mileage Plan program, Alaska Airlines has put together an offer to make it worth your while. New members get a 5,000-mile sign-up bonus, which, as you have pointed out in the past, could be the equivalent of a one-way ticket to Seattle for flights originating from Western Canada. Patrick, tell us a little bit more about this offer.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a push here by Alaska to, you know, acquire new customers, and they're offering this nice incentive, 5,000 bonus miles. No matter the program, 5,000 is pretty nice, but the beautiful thing about Alaska Airlines is their short-haul redemptions that are on Alaska Metal start at only 5,000 miles. So if you live in BC or Alberta, all the cities that Alaska serves out of those two provinces, you can get flights for as little as 5,000 miles one way to Seattle. So right there, that sign-up bonus already gets you one free flight if you can find availability. Now, 5,000 mile level, there the flights do tend to be a little tougher to find, especially out of Canada where they don't have as many flights. So we find some routes have 5,000 miles. They may push up to 7,500 miles. But no matter what, this is a great sign-up bonus. All you have to do is register by April 30th, even if you don't know you're going to fly Alaska or Virgin America, which they bought, and you have until September 30th to actually fly. So register now, sign up for the program, and then maybe you're flying out of Western Canada on Alaska, or even maybe you're just traveling within the states and you need to jump on a Virgin America flight. You'll get those 5,000 extra miles. Those of you in Southern Ontario, you know, Alaska does fly to Detroit, so there's another option if you're one of those people who jump across the border to take advantage of lower fares. So definitely something to check out if you're not a Mileage Plan member yet.
Great. Well, okay, next, business travelers take note. WestJet is giving you a chance to fast-track the Gold Elite status when you complete multiple flights between Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, New York, and Boston. Patrick, tell us how this offer works.
Yeah, so another push for WestJet in the Eastern Triangle and to the U.S. They're really going after the business travelers here out of Eastern Canada, competing with Air Canada and Porter. So what they have here is incentive for you to fly on WestJet. What we've seen is a lot of fast track offers where you only had to take one flight or even status matches. But I think WestJet has now built up their elite base high enough where they probably won't throw out as many of those really easy to get status offers. You're actually gonna have to work for it now. So with this promotion, you have to complete 10 round trips or 20 one-way flights between those five cities we mentioned, whether it's Toronto to Montreal, Montreal to New York, Toronto to Boston. There's a lot of different routes that you can take. And when you do reach that 20 one-way or 10 round trip flight target, you will be awarded Gold Elite status for 12 months. So definitely a push there to get the travelers out of Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa to fly on WestJet to try them out. This isn't too bad of a deal. There's a lot of people traveling between those cities frequently. So maybe you already hold status with AC and want to push for status with another airline. Maybe this is your chance to switch and try WestJet on those routes. So definitely something to look at. Again, not as easy as previous elite status fast tracks or matches, but definitely something to look at.
And Patrick, maybe it's worth just highlighting some of the benefits of the Gold Elite status for those unaware.
Sure. So Yeah, so once you get Gold Elite status, you're going to get 5% back in WestJet dollars on your flights. So that's a pretty decent return. You get your first and second check bags free. You get 10 airport lounge vouchers, which is nice. 4 advanced seat selection vouchers and then advanced boarding. No fee for flight changes on the same day at check-in. And also priority security screening at select airports in Canada. So that, you know, they keep adding slight benefits to this program. WestJet may not have a true business class cabin like other airlines where you get upgrades to, but having Gold Elite status definitely gets you a lot of the perks that you see outside of a business class cabin.
Got it. Okay, well, wrapping up deals of the week offers, it's time to check in on some hotel deals. And this week, Club Carlson is upping the ante on their gold points. With a combination of two great promotions. So the first is their systems-wide triple points, plus 5,000 more offer. And the second is a 3,000-point bonus offer designed to incent members to book through their mobile app. Tell us a little bit more about how this works, Patrick.
That's right. So we've already touched upon the triple points offer, but then not too long after that, they launched this mobile app bonus of 3,000 points. And the good news is that the promotions can be stacked on top of each other. So you might as well try and take advantage of it. So if you know you're going to have some Carlson hotel stays, whether it's Radisson, Country Inn, Park Plaza, you name it, you'll want to try and push your booking through the mobile app. First of all, register for the triple points plus 5,000 more. The 5,000 more is for Sunday and Monday nights. And then the mobile app booking gives you 3,000 points. Now, the mobile app booking is only a one-time bonus. You'll probably just do this once, and then you can go back to booking online or however you normally book. Doesn't really matter. We provided a example on the blog of how you can actually utilize this to score some free nights, because with Club Carlson, free nights start as little as 9,000 points. And then that's for a Category 1 hotel, Category 2 hotels, 15,000. And we did an example of staying two nights at the Country Inn & Suites by Carlson in Oakville, right near your neighborhood there in Toronto, Jeff. And, you know, we worked it out that for about $200, so two nights at that hotel, you'll get 21,760 points. So that's good for two nights at a Category 1 hotel or a single night at a Category 2. And we show that, you know, maybe you're taking a trip to Europe this summer, that the Park Inn Radisson Budapest, you can get two nights there for 9,000 points a night, where the going rate is over $120 Canadian dollars per night. So you're spending $200 here to save you a bit of money when maybe you travel somewhere else where there's a 9,000 point hotel. Now in Canada, we don't have any of the 9,000 point hotels. You kind of, you know, try and leverage these points, or maybe this is something, maybe you're building up a Club Carlson balance for some future stays at some of their really higher end hotels in Europe and US, like the Radisson Blue Aqua in Chicago is a really nice hotel. So definitely, you know, if you are planning stays or want to do some mattress runs to score a lot of points, this is an offer to look at by combining the two promotions that they have.
Great. All right. Well, up next is the movers and shakers category, and big news from our friends at WestJet. The airline announced last week their plans to launch an ultra-low-cost carrier, and I guess the move is designed to capture the most price-sensitive airline passengers out there and attract some of the people out there that don't fly at all. According to the news release, the new carrier will begin operating before the end of the year, so Patrick, what do you make about all this?
Yeah, so this is a little surprising news when it first came out. Definitely kind of, I think, a reactive and proactive approach by WestJet here. There's a lot of speculation as to why they're doing it, and probably a lot of that speculation, all the different reasons that people are throwing out, are all the reasons why WestJet is doing this. Number one, you have New Leaf, who is doing this fully unbundled fare option, which most ultra-low-cost carriers do, where your base fare is strictly that. If you want to have a carry-on bag, you pay for it. You want to check in at the airport, you pay for it. More luggage, you pay for it. You name it. All your food and drinks, you pay for it. There's really nothing free that comes with these flights other than maybe using the bathroom on the plane. They're not charging for that, at least not yet. So that New Leaf has been doing that. We have Jetlines, I believe, out of Vancouver, who's looking to start up. They actually sent out a press release after WestJet put out theirs in response to this. And there's also Enerjet out of Calgary, which is trying to launch Fly 2, and that's TOO, also another option as an ultra-low-cost carrier. So we can see how WestJet's probably being reactive to New Leaf. We know that New Leaf may have had an effect on WestJet because WestJet has targeted New Leaf routes. A good example was Alberta routes to Mesa, Arizona. New Leaf announced them first not too long after WestJet did as well. New Leaf didn't even launch the routes because of WestJet. WestJet still launched the routes, which is great news. We weren't sure if they were going to cancel them after New Leaf did. But you can see that they're trying to really grow their business on both ends. They're going after the premium travelers, as we discussed earlier, the business travelers with their fast track offers, and build that up on the WestJet airline. But WestJet and Air Canada are pretty much equal in Canada now in terms of fares and a lot of their offerings outside of WestJet not having a business class cabin. So what WestJet needs to do is also can be on that lower end. They used to be the kind of low-cost carrier, and we're getting the people who never traveled or only traveled semi-frequently and very price-conscious. And they may be losing some of that to New Leaf. So now here they are trying to attract those customers. Now, some other speculation, and this probably works as well, is labor costs. Ultra-low-cost carriers pay their workers a lot less than mainline airlines. And this is a way for WestJet to lower some of their costs. People are thinking that, yeah, they're going to probably start up routes that WestJet does not serve, but on the kind of low-lying fruit routes where WestJet does not make much money, don't be surprised if the ultra-low-cost carrier takes over those routes from WestJet. We saw it with Air Canada and Rouge. This kind of happens, and so there may be certain routes out there that will be picked off by the ultra-low-cost carrier, and WestJet won't serve it anymore. It'll be their other airline where you have to pay for everything. Just before this podcast, I was talking with WestJet Rewards. I don't believe they're going to have anything to do with the ultra-low-cost carrier, but we are meeting with them next week, so I'll hopefully push some more questions on the carrier, what their plans are, and if there will ever be a tie-in to the WestJet Rewards program.
Interesting. Well, it's funny. I was reading some of the comments on the CBC website, and, you know, few people were complaining that the airline industry is already short on service. So, you know, they felt there wasn't much left to cut. But definitely going to be interesting to see how this airline fares and what the reaction will be to it. Okay, well, of course, we can't legitimately run a news podcast about the travel industry and not talk about the United Airlines incident that took place a few weeks ago. And I guess while many folks, most notably the airline, would like us to turn the page on the story, it looks like it could spark some meaningful change. Canada's transport minister has stated that the new airline bumping rules will be part of the new Air Passenger Bill of Rights that will be tabled later this spring. So it's a step in the right direction and certainly an example of where government needs to step in when industry falls short. But over and above the issue of overbooking, you and I've talked off air about how this might have all been avoided had the airline upped the incentive to encourage folks to volunteer, including how loyalty currency might have even been used. So why don't we talk about that a little bit? Patrick, you know, when you look back about at the incident itself and you think about both what the airline initially offered people by way of cash incentive to get off that flight, many criticized that it just wasn't enough. And as you know, Delta came out, you know, a few days afterwards to announce that they had given their managers, I guess, authorization to offer up to $9,000 to incent people to get off the flights. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so all this United bump gate, as they call it now, you know, as everybody's seen, it's been in the news, not just social media, but on all the channels, news channels, you name it. Lots of discussion behind it. The crazy thing is, the week before this happened, we were actually on the radio, on Zoomer Radio, Fight Back, I believe the show was called, discussing a lady who was bumped off an Air Canada flight that was going to Miami, and she missed her connecting flight to go to a Galapagos cruise. And so she had to cancel that whole trip, which cost over 10 grand. It's actually making the news rounds this morning, still, this Air Canada bumping of this lady. So it's funny how these kind of come in in multiples, the news. You start off with the Air Canada bumping, then you get the United bumping, then there's also about Air Canada talking about a boy being bumped off their airline. It's just crazy. Unfortunately, that's how the airline industry runs, because they do offer refundable fares and people are no-shows. And so they want to make sure that plane is full, so they do oversell. But now, the question of the matter is, how do they handle that? And how do they pick the people? Like, this lady had a connecting flight in Miami that was going to a cruise. And the agents there apparently weren't the nicest and didn't do the most to help her out. And that's kind of what we even see with the United issue. The police came in and roughed up the guy pretty bad, and that's why it's all making the news. So going on to the compensation, did they offer that gentleman on United enough? And the question is, probably not. Or could they have offered it to somebody else? The man clearly had boarded and had stated that he needed to get to work for the next day. So perhaps they needed to bump the offers up for other people to get off the plane. And we've seen that now. Delta's authorizing their managers up to, I believe it's $9,950 US. And so that's huge, but that should be enough incentive to get somebody off the plane. But what the airlines should also look at is, they have all the data behind who's on the plane, who are frequent travelers, and perhaps they can do a mix of compensation in terms of cash and then miles as well. They'll be like, well, this guy flies United a lot. He's a good frequent flyer. He's traveling alone. They can kind of get an idea of his travel patterns and say, well, let's go to him and let's say, well, we'll offer him the $400 plus 15,000 miles. That way they're not putting out all that cash. They're using some miles, which may or may not be used in the future. You never know. They may just get unused. So you have that potential to actually bring your costs down. So this is something airlines should possibly look at, is not just doing the cash compensation, but topping it off with other incentives. Here in Canada now, we have Ottawa that's saying they're going to add bumping rules to new passenger bill of rights, which is great that we kind of have set rules in place. The U.S. has them in place, Europe has them in place, but it still doesn't actually solve the issue of bumping. Bumping will always be there on the mainline flights. It's just how the airlines handle it. If they handle it well and provide proper compensation, then it won't make the news like this. The past 3 weeks we've seen with Air Canada, United, and other airlines.
Well, it's a good point. And you know, I think all the airlines now are digging deep into their processes and trying to understand ways to avoid this sort of situation from happening ever again. But it does also speak to your point, which is, you know, people, we have a lot more data on customers, who they are, what they do, and ultimately what might incent them. And so, you know, in this case, having access to that data, giving your managers authorization to use different levers to incent a customer, could have saved a whole lot of grief here, and definitely something that all airlines could do better at looking at. All right. Well, sure, this topic will continue to get kicked around. But let's talk about our tip of the week. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago, we launched the first ever cashback credit card ranking. And our news release announced the top five cashback cards. For those who haven't seen it, the ranking and full write-up is on the Rewards Canada website. But before we get into the ranking itself, Patrick, why don't you tell us a little bit about why this is a growing credit card category?
I think there's a few reasons why it's a growing category. One, a lot of people in Canada have become fed up with your traditional reward programs. I mean, 2016 was pretty obvious with Air Miles. Before that, a few years before, was Aeroplan. We've seen people even upset with Scene when they make changes. Cashback's pretty easy. It's cash. So that's why I think we've seen growth in there. And we've also seen the banks realize this and up their offers on cashback cards. It used to be travel rewards cards offered a lot more value than cashback cards. But the cashback cards are now closing that gap. Do you still get more value out of travel rewards cards? Yes. However, cashback cards are a lot easier, because that's all it is cash coming back to you. And you can get to up to 2% back on cashback now, which is pretty close or matches all the kind of top-end travel rewards cards that aren't tied into programs like Aeroplan, Starwood, Air Miles, those type of programs. So definitely something to look at are these cashback cards, because they've made the offers better, and that's why we've seen cashback grow in Canada.
Okay, well, let's now talk specifically about this ranking and why we picked who we picked. Start with, I guess, the number one card.
Yeah, so the number one card was the Simply Cash Preferred card from American Express. Now, the funny thing is, these rankings were supposed to come out back beginning of March. But right around when we were starting to develop it, we got news of several changes to several cards. So there was the Simply Cash Preferred was changing, the Tangerine Money Back MasterCard was changing. So we had to take those all into account and delay the release of the rankings. And we're glad we did, because the Simply Cash card would have ranked fourth overall with their old offering, but now they jump to first. And the reason why is because it's a straight 2% back on all your spending now. It has a pretty decent sign-up bonus of 5% back on all your spending in the first 6 months, up to $300. And it has a strong insurance package for a cashback card. In second place, we ranked the MBNA Rewards World Elite MasterCard. That would have been number one had the Simply Cash not been changed. And it's very close. Like, the rankings between one and two, they're almost interchangeable. It's really just that little bit extra sign-up bonus on the Simply Cash and the insurance package that bumped it to first. Otherwise, MBNA, still a great option. It's same thing, a straight 2% back. Sign-up bonus, a little bit less than the Simply Cash, but still, you get $100 when you sign up. The beauty of this card, it launched originally as a travel rewards card, then they added the cash back option. And for probably the last 18 months, we've been saying this is actually kind of the best cash back card out there before the Simply Cash changed. And one of the reasons why as well is that they allow you to cash out monthly, whereas most cash back cards are on a yearly basis. And that's true with the Simply Cash card. So that's something to take into account when you're choosing your cards. Really, for a lot of people, it may be a toss-up between number one and two. If you need that additional insurance, you'll want to go with the Amex card. If you don't need the insurance, MBNA is probably the way to go. And then we rounded out with, in third place, was a Scotia Momentum Visa Infinite card. Now, when this card came out many years ago, it was a front runner for many years. And it kind of changed the landscape of the cash back market, because it came out with up to 4% cash back category bonuses, had decent insurance package. So this was really one of the trendsetters for cash back, was the Scotia Momentum Visa Infinite card. Still up there. The reason why it only ranks third is it has some of the highest fees associated with the card, but you are getting insurance, a good insurance package tied into it. But outside of those category bonuses, it's only a 1% cash back card. You'd think with a Visa Infinite card, you maybe add a little bit more on your non-category purchases, maybe 1.5% or 2. Fourth place is the BMO Cashback World Elite MasterCard. Really good again, because it's a straight 1.75% return. So you may actually get a better return than the Scotia Momentum if you don't shop a lot where they have category bonuses, because you're getting 1.75% on everything. Decent insurance package as well, but it also has pretty much the highest annual fees out of any cashback cards in terms of the primary card holder and the supplementary card holder. Rounding up top five, another card people may not consider as a cashback card was the Scotiabank Gold American Express card. This card, up until November of last year, was strictly a travel rewards card. But then Scotia launched using a points for purchase option, kind of like your main American Express cards that aren't issued by Scotiabank, where you can use points for other purchases. The rates, if you only shop where you get 1% back on this card, aren't great. You get like 0.66 to 0.8% back. But however, they have great category bonuses of gas, grocery, and dining/entertainment, which a lot of people do. And that's you get 4 points per dollar there. So that bumps your return to 2.64 to 3.2% when you shop at those categories. So that's huge. And the great thing is that these points, if you do redeem for cash back, you can do it at any time. You don't have to wait until the end of the year or your yearly anniversary. And then you still have the option to use it as a travel rewards card and get your full 4% on travel redemptions out of those category bonuses. So that rounds out our top five categories. Really, any one of these cards you should be really happy with. They're great cashback cards. You can get good returns, decent insurance on most of them. And then you can tie in no fee cards as additional ones. As you know, we do our ultimate rankings where we talk about you should get one Visa, one American Express, and one MasterCard. So you can pick one of these as your primary cash back and then look at some no fee cash backs if you're not into the travel to round out your wallet.
Okay, well, and if you missed any of what Patrick just mentioned, all the information about the ranking and each of those cards can be found on the rewardscanada.ca website. All right, well, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to check out rewardscanada.ca, where you'll find links to all our bonus offers, industry news, and travel rewards credit card rankings. Until then, happy collecting, and be sure to tune in next week when we do it all over again.